I'd like to welcome everyone to the Nationwide Gospel Call. Tonight our speaker is Brother Terry Hill. Brother Hill has been preaching the gospel and has been a minister for 46 years. He has been on the battlefield a long time. I introduce to you Brother Terry Hill from the Wink Church of Christ. Brother Hill?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I want to thank Highland Heights Church of Christ for hosting this program and for our host, Brother Tommy Brooks, and co-host, Brother Anthony Wiggins and Brother Horst Stroud, and especially Brother Anthony Funder. We are good friends. We want to think about this tonight because this world seems to be deteriorating right before our eyes. Satan is working overtime to try to destroy us and our children and our society. And we need to be aware that he is there and he is working. He is not quit. He is still after us. You know, Jesus was speaking in John 8 and verse 44. He was speaking to the Jews. If you would have asked those people in that audience, are you God's people? And they would have said, oh, yeah, we are God's people. And we love God and we are faithful. But what did Jesus say of them? He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And we see right from the beginning that is true. When we're first introduced to Satan in Genesis chapter 3, first six verses, we see that he comes into the garden and he tempts Eve to eat of the tree that was forbidden for them to eat. And he lies to her over and over and over again. But the greatest lie of all is that you shall not surely die. You know, she related to him that God said to him, when we eat of it, we shall die. And he said, you shall not surely die. Why? Because when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so he implies that this tree, though, is good for food and it will make you wise as God, make you like God, and you will not surely die. But we know in John chapter 2, our first John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, John tells us, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and love of the Father is not in him, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We see that every sin will fit into one of those three categories that he gets there. And you see that lust of the flesh, a woman saw the tree was good for food. Lust of the eyes, it was pleasant to the eyes. And lust of the pride of life, it'll make you wise. It'll make you like God. So he's implying, actually, that God is somehow restricting them. And this would be good for them, but God is restricting them and trying to keep them from things. And people will just think that today. You know, when we talk about things we should not do, and as well, he's just trying to restrict us. And actually, God is trying to keep us from harm. You know, Satan wants us to believe that he's concerned for our welfare, but he is a liar. Everything he says is a lie, but he wants us to believe that he's concerned for our welfare. First, he talks about, we see in that Genesis chapter 6, he's concerned about our knowledge. He says, for, if you look at verse 5, for God knoweth that the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's concerned. He wants to act like he's concerned for our knowledge. He wants us to be like God. What he really wants to do is steal our souls and to steal our eternity away from us. He acts like he's concerned for our health. He said, well, there you see, this tree is good for food in Genesis 3:6. Oh, yes, it's good for food. You know, it's good for your health. And he's concerned, tries to make us believe he's concerned about our eternal well-being, which is, you shall not surely die. But it's all a lie. It's all a lie. And we're going to talk tonight about some of the lies that Satan has always perpetrated on folks, but it seems to be especially now. There are things that we see in the newspapers, we see here some of these denominational people saying these things, but we know that they're not true. We know that Satan wants us to believe that we can worship God as we please. And we see that, you know, worship God as you please. But Jesus said in John 4, verse 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And we know that there are those who say, well, we can do pretty much as we please. But if they go back to Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, we see about two brothers, Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron. Now, God had told them in Numbers 16 and verse 12 that the fire from the censer, for the censer, should come from off the altar. But it notes that they took their censers and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded not. And they were went out of fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You notice he said, well, he didn't never say, if you read all of that, he didn't say, you shall not take fire from your campfire. You shall not take fire from home. You shall not take fire from wherever, but he had told them explicitly that they were to take fire from off of the altar. And that, in fact, ruled out all other places that they could get fire from. And because of that sin, they were destroyed. They died. And even, in fact, God forbid Aaron from mourning for those two sons of his who died because of their rebellion against God. And you say, well, how did they rebel? Well, they refused to do what God commanded. They probably had the idea, well, it's okay, you know, we can do whatever. Then we note that Jesus talks about the Jews in Matthew, or Pharisees, actually, in Matthew 15, verse 7 and through 9, when he says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." That sounds like today, doesn't it? People want to teach whatever they can teach, and they'll often say, well, the Bible doesn't say not to. Well, but it does tell us what to do, and that eliminates all other things of the same kind. We know we're told to worship God in spirit and in truth. We are, the scripture tells us, we are to teach one another. We are to pray. We are to sing, give, and take the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. Here is what we are to do. And we'll find folks that know that, but then they'll think, well, we can add some things. We can add some things. And Satan also wants us to believe that faith in Jesus Christ is not necessary. I'll hear folks saying, well, I think if you just believe in God, that you'll be okay. Or I believe if you just believe there's a supreme being, you'll be okay. But is that what is said? Well, Jesus says in John 8, verse 24, "I said therefore unto you that you should die in your sins. For if you believe not that I'm he, you should die in your sins." In John 3 and verse 16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Does God expect us to believe in his Son? Satan says, well, that's not necessary. I notice in John 12, 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Do we need to believe those words? We absolutely do. They're going to be what judges us on the last day. And Jesus told us before that we must believe that he is, or we shall die in our sins. And God spoke from heaven in Matthew 17, 5. And it says, "And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." You realize that is not a suggestion or a wish. That is a commandment. We are commanded by God to hear Jesus, his Son. Hear him. And in hearing, we are to obey. But old Satan, he is the Antichrist, and he has lots of helpers. John, in 1 John and 2 John, four times he mentions about the Antichrist. And in 1 John 2, verse 18, he says, "Little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that the Antichrist should come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." In 1 John 2 and verse 22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is an Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. We have those, if you read Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, you'll see that over again and over again throughout that rest of that chapter. But notice in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof we have heard that it should come, even now is already in the world. And 2 John chapter 1 and verse 7, many deceivers are entering the world who confess not that Jesus is come in the flesh. This deceiver is an Antichrist. We see, you know, Satan is Antichrist. He does not want us to believe in Jesus. He'll do everything he can to draw us away from Jesus. He is evil. He wants us to be lost. He knows where his end will be, and he wants us to be there with him. But I would pray that we would not want to be with him. You know, Satan also wants us to believe that the church which Jesus purchased with his own blood is not important. Because we know, and we'll look at that a little later, but we know that Jesus only built one church. And Acts 20, verse 28, Paul, speaking to the Ephesian elders, said this, "Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock of which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And at Revelation 1, 5, he says, "And from Christ, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Can we say that the blood of Jesus and the church that he purchased with his own blood is not important? Well, we see that that is not so. But old Satan wants us to believe that the church is not important. He wants us to believe that one church is just as good as another. We notice in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus said he's going to build his church, not someone's church, not many churches, but one church. In Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 4 through 6, Paul writes, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Well, there's only one body, he says. In Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, he tells us what that body is. And he said, "hath put all things under his feet and gave him be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Yes, Jesus built his church, and that church is his body, and there is only one body, the scripture tells us plainly. And we know that the scripture is always right. Satan tells us another lie, and we see this in the newspaper a lot. "Join the church of your choice." We have to join the church of your choice. Well, we find that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached to those folks about Jesus Christ and him crucified, resurrected, and ascended into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And when they realized that they had crucified the Son of God and that they were guilty, they asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, what did they do? Well, we see in verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself and this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Well, to what were they added? Well, we see in Acts 2:47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Well, to what church were they added? Well, Jesus only built one church, and at the time this was written, there was only one church. There was no denominations in existence, none. And so what church were they added to? Well, they were added to the only one that was built by Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ. And people think, well, you're being so exclusive. No, we're being inclusive in that we are going to teach exactly what Jesus taught and exactly what he told us to teach, because he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It is truth. You should know the truth, and the truth should make you free, says in John 8 and verse 32. We need to realize Satan is not anti-church. He loves all these churches. He loves all of this division. He is not anti-church. He is anti-Christ. Satan wants us to believe another thing, that one religion is just as good as another, and he teaches that. In this world, there are estimated 4,200 different religions in the world. Christianity is only one of those 4,200. And in America, there are over 3,000 denominations claiming to follow Christ. But if we counted all the factions of those 3,000, there would be over 10,000 different groups, all teaching and believing and practicing different things. But we know what Jesus' prayer is. In John chapter 17, verse 20 through 22, Jesus said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." And we find Paul writing to the Corinthian brethren when they begin to divide, denominate. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Now, the world will say that's impossible. But Jesus said, if you follow me, it's possible. And Paul writes to the Philippian brethren, "Only let your conversation or your conduct of life be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." You know the singularity of that? There is only one faith, the faith. There's only one gospel, the gospel. In Philippians 2:2, he says, "Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord and of one mind." Ooh, he commands us to be one. And then we look at the world in America, the division among those who claim to follow Christ. And it was not intended, it is not pleasing to God that it is that way. And we know that Satan has lots of false teachers out there, and they're teaching all of these things. They're teaching all kinds of false doctrines. But Paul writes to the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 1, beginning verse 6, because he had been to Galatia, he had taught them the truth, they had believed the truth, they had obeyed the truth, they were baptized into Christ Jesus. But after he leaves, some false teachers come, and they follow off these false teachers. Paul writes them and says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." And it is amazing to me how many religious groups will claim they got their message from an angel. And what Paul specifically says, if an angel teaches anything different than you've already been taught that is in the gospel, then let him be accursed. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, beginning through verse 15, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." These false teachers, then and now, will never come and say, "I'm a false teacher." No, they will come and they will act so pious and humble and holy, but they'll have a new message. They'll have something different than you can read in the Bible for yourself. what we need to do is be aware that Satan has lots of helpers out there, lots of false teachers teaching. We notice in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul writes to Timothy in verses 1 through 3, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe, not the truth." What we see, and as Paul gives his last charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 2 through verse 4, he says, "Preach the word, be in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Yes, Paul knew that that was what was going to come in the future, what was going to happen. And he warns Timothy, what you need to do is preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Keep preaching the gospel. I like what Marshall Keble used to say when he tells them, when he says, in season, out of season, what is that? When they want to hear it and when they don't want to hear it, you just keep preaching the gospel. Jesus warns us about false teachers. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves." Yes, Satan is not anti-religion. Oh, he loves all of these different religions. Satan is not anti-religion. Satan is anti-Christ. Satan wants us also to believe that there are many gods. You know, Paul addressed this in Athens. When Paul was in Athens, we read Acts 17, that in Athens at the time, we're told by history writers, that there were more places to worship idol gods in Athens than there were people who lived in Athens. And so Paul, in the midst of all that, stood up in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with inscription to the unknown God, to whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." He wanted to tell them about the one God who created all things, that it is in him that we live and move and have our being. He is our creator. But we find that Paul disturbed a lot of folks when he preached that there are no gods made by the hands of men, or, in fact, by the imaginations of men. In Acts chapter 19, verse 26, Demetrius the silversmith says, "Moreover, you hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that there be no gods which are made by hands." And we notice in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, that you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." And he's commending them for their turning away from these idols. Satan wants us to believe there are many gods. You know, the Hindus, and I wonder how many they each would worship, but the Hindus have 30,300,000 gods, gods of all kinds and all kinds of things that they worship, the Hindus do. But we have almost that kind of atmosphere, religious atmosphere in America almost, don't we? You know, Satan, the big liar, wants us to believe that everyone who believes just to believe that we'll all go to heaven regardless of how we live. You know, if we just say there's a God up there somewhere, we're all going to go to heaven. God is going to find enough good in us, even the atheist, even if you don't believe, he's going to find enough good in us to send us all to heaven. We're all going to heaven. Well, we notice how many scriptures we have that say that's not so. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, we know there are some that are not going to go there, but the Satan is telling us, oh, well, everybody's going to go to heaven. He's going to find enough good in everybody. You don't have to follow Jesus. He's just going to take you anyway. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10, he says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus himself said, beginning verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, he says, hereby we do know we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, everyone's not going to get to go to heaven, but Satan is trying to deceive us into thinking, oh, well, you don't have to do what God says. You don't have to follow Jesus. God is going to find enough good in you to go take you to heaven anyway. And he knows if you believe that, you're going to be with him in torments. Yeah, the deceitfulness of Satan. I think about what Satan promises and what he gives. Satan promises joy and happiness, but he gives sadness and sorrow. He promises honor, but dishonor is what comes. He promises enjoyment, a lot of fun, but shame is what we get. Life, he promises, but death is what we get. That's what he gives. Enlightenment, but we don't get enlightened. He only gives darkness. He promises fulfillment, but he gives emptiness. He promises lots of friends, but loneliness is what he gives. Recognition, but he only gives us to be despised. He promises love, and hatred is what we get. He promises salvation, but we are lost if we follow him. Satan is the great deceiver, but Jesus Christ is the great Savior. Jesus says to us in Luke 6:46, and why call me Lord, Lord, and not do not the things which I say? And John 14, verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He tells us what we need to do in order to prepare to go to heaven. He tells us we must hear him. Of course, God himself spoke from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We must hear Jesus, and we must believe in Jesus. He says, for if you believe not that I am he, you should die in your sins. He tells us that we need to repent of our sins. We're going to change our lives. I'm going to change my direction. I'm going to stop doing the things that I find that are wrong. In Luke 13:3, he says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then we confess our faith in Christ Jesus. Matthew 10:32 and 33 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Wherefore, whosoever does not confess me before men, him will I also not confess before my Father. Well, I will deny him before my Father, which is in heaven. And then he tells us we need to be baptized. He tells Peter and them to go out and preach the gospel in that first sermon we hear after the resurrection of Jesus in Acts chapter 2, when they ask, what must we do to be saved? What, men and brother, what must we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. I know Satan says, well, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. Well, Jesus didn't know that. Peter didn't know that. The Holy Spirit who inspired Peter to speak didn't know that. No, he says we are to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. In Acts chapter 22, we hear Ananias, the preacher, saying to Saul, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We find that when they did that, God added them to the church. What church? The church of Christ. It's the only church that Jesus built. It was the only church in existence at that time. We think about that, keep in our minds. Here is, Satan is the great deceiver. He would try to steal our souls from us. He would try to steal our eternity if he can. Why? Because he is evil. And he knows he's going to that place because in Matthew chapter 25, it tells us that that place was created by God for Satan and his angels. If you notice that in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, then he shall say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He knows he's going to be there, but he wants you to be with him. He knows it's going to be terrible, but he wants a lot of company. We, as gospel preachers and Christians everywhere, don't want anyone to be there. We would hope that Satan and his angels would be the only ones there. But we know that's not going to happen. We know that there are those who will follow Satan. They will continue to live their lives following him and following his deceit, and they will wind up there with him. But you don't have to go there. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to confess that before men and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, God will add you to the church, that group of people that are going to heaven when Jesus comes back. We notice in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, he's going to deliver up the church to God Almighty. We hope that you have enjoyed this lesson. If there's anything we can do to help you, please, you can write an email to nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, or you could write to me an email, terry@usermail.com. I'll be glad to answer your mail. If you have any studies you'd like to do, I have a lot of study material. I'd be glad to share with anyone. So I'm going to turn this back to Brother Flunder. Thank you.